right. Hey, everyone, and welcome to our bonus episode, our first bonus episode of season three following our episode on the Skeleton Crew. Make sure you guys check that out. But we are here. We've got some really exciting stuff for this first bonus episode. First off, we finally got some submissions on our website, theforceunscripted.com, for some questions to be answered on the podcast. And so I'll play those for you guys and we will give you our answers. So here is the first voice note.
What are your thoughts on how Disney's interpretation of the Force differs from George Lucas's original vision?
So I'm going to go ahead and unless one of y'all want to open up on that question. I don't know if y'all want to take point or if y'all want me to take point.
You can take point on this one.
Okay, cool. So I really don't think that Disney's interpretation of the Force differs too much from George Lucas's. I think that the Force was always kind of a all-encompassing, you know, energy field, whatever. And I think that Disney has kind of held true to that. If anything, they've just simply kind of expanded on it through different characters' own perceptions of the Force. But I think the Force has kind of always been the same, just this ever-present energy that some people have better control over than others. It may or may not influence the flow of life and how life moves, develops, and acts. But I think that for the most part, the interpretation is the same as George Lucas's, really. I'm curious to see how you guys answer that question.
Yeah, I was basically going to say the same thing, because if you just watch like the original trilogy, the prequels, it kind of more going towards just like a story. It doesn't really dive too deep into the Force. But like with like the Clone Wars and stuff like that, where George Lucas is actually on, it dives a little bit deeper into it, but I don't think Disney has strayed too far. They've kind of been sticking to with what media and books and all that shit that's already been released and kind of staying in that ballpark range of what the Force is. So I don't think there's too much of a difference between what they're doing and his vision.
So the parts of the Clone Wars where there are like gray Jedi, is that before or after Lucas sold
Wait,
it?
Wait, there are parts of the
Clone Wars. Or was that in Rebels?
That was Rebels.
Oh, that was Rebels? Okay, which was definitely post-Lucas. Then, yeah, they changed it a decent amount because they add a third category to the Force altogether, which is neutral. None of George Lucas anything ever had a neutral Force user. Ever. It was either you're a good guy with green, blue, purple, whatever lightsaber, or you're a bad guy with a red one. Maybe in Legends there were, you know, gray Jedi and stuff, but George Lucas didn't write Legends, the books. He just did the movies, right? The media. So I think even if Disney pulled that from the Legends books, those weren't George Lucas's canon anyway. And I don't think they were in his original, like, movie show vision.
I mean, like, wouldn't Qui-Gon, like, be considered part of that, like, borderline?
Oh, he was a Jedi. A really hippie one, but he was a Jedi.
Qui-Gon never tapped into anything relating to the dark side, and I think that's pretty indicative of like grays. Like, I think the closest one that you could say would be gray would probably Mace Windu.
Yeah, Mace Windu is the closest, and he's still strictly a Jedi.
And if anything, you could also technically say that like Legends Luke strays close to being a gray as well, because of his, you know, the fact that he did fall to the dark side momentarily, and he does understand that the Force is not just light and dark, it is a spectrum. But I would still say, I mean, at the end of the day, he's as Jedi can be. He just has the knowledge and experience to have been a gray, I guess, is the way to say
it. No, he was tempted to the dark side and felt the temptation and resisted it and is a Jedi. But I wouldn't say he was a gray, like tapping into both and using it as, you know, power. It was, he went angry against Vader, let it all out, realized it, brought it back in, you know, kept his cooled his shit.
Well, I'm talking more of like the Palpatine clone era where he actually does fall to the dark side. Like after that, when he comes back, I mean, like, I'm not saying he's a gray. I'm just saying like he could be. he understands.
He doesn't fall to the dark side, though.
Yeah, he does. He does. It's in the comics. It's the Dark Empire series.
Is that canon?
Yeah. Well, Legends.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Nothing in that shit. Anything that's outside of the movies and the shows, all that crap, all of Legends, he never considered canon. The things that George Lucas made, there was a clear distinction 100% of the time. You're either good guy Jedi or bad guy Sith.
Oh, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying now. Yeah, in that aspect, yeah, I guess that is where Disney differs, is that Disney kind of allows sort of, like, they never come out and flat say it, like a gray Jedi or like an in-between or whatever, but there are definitely characters that exist on that line more so than I think George Lucas may have intended.
You would never have Ahsoka the White and Balin the Dark Jedi in a George Lucas like film or show.
I thought George Lucas was actually working with Filoni and like helped Filoni whenever Filoni created those two characters, no?
Well, I mean, Ahsoka, adult Ahsoka was already an established character because of Rebels, and which also, was yeah, Filoni Lucas input.
No, Filoni got Lucas's input on Rebels.
I mean, either way, he had to deal with the fact that Ahsoka wasn't a Jedi anymore.
And also at that point, it's not George Lucas's original vision, right? It's George Lucas as like an adjunct opinion.
Yeah, what can we do with the bullshit that you've handed me? And that's the problem. Like, people see Balin and they just see Sith. I mean, he may say that he's a dark Jedi or whatever he is, but like, red means bad, as we know.
Do I have the sound? Wait. Hold on. Shit, I have it somewhere. There it is.
Red means bad. Red means bad.
So, yeah, so how do you make them not as bad? You make their saber orange? I mean, come on. That would not be something Lucas would do. I mean, he hardly was going to let Samuel L. Jackson have a purple one.
But that's a badass motherfucker, and he gets an exception.
Right. But he's the only one.
And ironically, he is the one that's on that cusp, too. That's funny.
Uh-huh.
It's poetry. All right, so that's that question. We got another one. This one's a bit long of a recording, so I'm going to go ahead and play it, and then we'll answer it. So, going to play it now.
Okay. Star Wars seems to be a very vast and dangerous setting, even from my shallow understanding. Within this deadly universe, what is the scariest way to die? What is the thing that I'm going to be holding my breath, praying for never happening to me? And then on the flip side, what is the hottest way to die? As in, what if I die this way, how will I still feel good about it? Like knowing I left a badass mark on the universe.
Okay, so the scariest way to die, in my opinion, it's funny because they kind of show it in Skeleton Crew. I think that the scariest thing is like jumping into hyperspace and never coming out. Like that would be my biggest fear. That would be the thing that like, God, if I'm in the Star Wars universe, I hope this never happens because, you know, like, it's all a bunch of calculations and you're off by like 0.0001. You might fly into a fucking star or go into hyperspace and never come back like the fucking Katana fleet, you know? So I think that is probably the scariest way to die, in my opinion. Like, there are a lot more gruesome ways, but I feel like if irrational fear is the root, I feel like that's definitely the one that's going to scare the shit out of me. Now, conversely, the other part was, what's the hottest slash like most badass way that would make you feel good about it? Like, I'm gonna definitely take this. I'm gonna take the sexual approach on this one. Force choking. Like, if I die by force choke, at least I died with a boner, and I'm standing by that.
That's wild. First off, I think like the scariest way to die, I don't know. I feel like, you know, crashing into a star with fucking getting lost in hyperspace. It's like, yeah, but you're pretty much going to meet a pretty quick death.
Well, not necessarily. What if you go into hyperspace and you're just stuck in hyperspace? Like, you're just going to starve.
Yeah, then you just starve. That's a slow death, I guess. But that's not like, you know, starving to death's not like too crazy.
I mean, you're going to hallucinate and shit. You're going to dehydrate. I don't know. That's pretty fucking, that's scary.
Getting eaten by a rancor, bro? I fuck that.
It's fast, though.
Is it, though?
It's so much slower than running into a star in hyperspace. That's literally instantaneous. You wouldn't ever feel a thing.
Getting eaten by a rancor. You're fucking hearing your bones crack. The teeth dig into you fucking in its fucking disgusting ass mouth. It'd probably even be like fucking playing with your body parts. Like, fuck getting eaten by a rancor.
You saw what it did when it had Din Djarin's head in its mouth.
Okay, well, then, I'm not afraid of being consumed. I'm not a pussy like y'all are. I'm a pussy in different ways.
I honestly thought you were gonna say getting eaten like that character from Skeleton Crew as the hottest way to die.
I fucking hate you. Not again.
I'd say the hottest way or most badass way to die. Fucking what's her face from the sequel trilogy? She fucking hyper jumps through like 18 ships.
Or not oh, Holdo? You're talking about Holdo, right?
Admiral Holdo.
Yeah. I just couldn't, like, put a name to her face, but yeah. Fucking just jumping through the fucking, the ship at hyperspace. I'd say that'd be the most badass way to die.
Yeah, that was a pretty... That was fucking... Actually, that's probably my favorite scene from the entirety of the sequel trilogy. Like, that was a badass way to go, and...
That's the only good scene.
And you know what? Also, she probably didn't feel any pain either. That was probably instantaneous death.
Yeah, because like her ship gets fucking annihilated in hyperspace.
Yep. Faster than light speed, or light speed, at least.
All right, what about you, Mr. Mando?
Yeah, I definitely don't think dying in my spaceship would be the scariest way to go. Starving, I mean, whatever. I can always put myself out the airlock if it comes to that. But like, damn, I haven't thought of like a ton of scary ways to die.
I thought it was a hard question. Like, and
Sarlacc pit, maybe, because you're just slowly digesting down there and you can't get out. And so your skin is burning off and melting with you alive in it. I mean, that's a pretty scary way to go. I'm gonna go with that. Hottest, most badass way? Shit. It's gotta be like going out like those X-Wing pilots in Rogue One. It's pretty badass.
Diving on that shield and shit.
Uh-huh. Like, saving your homies on the ground. Still getting taken out, but like, you know the mission got completed because you saved your homies on the ground. But
did they know the mission got completed? They hoped he knew.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was hope. He had hope, all right?
Hey, rebellions are built on hope.
Yeah, what the pessimist said.
I actually kind of want Brick3PO's input on this one, too.
It's the scariest way to die. It's going to be a jab at you. Which is going to be a hot body press.
Oh my god. Leave me alone!
No. But in reality, disassembly. Part robot. If you're struck down and disassembled and remade into somebody brand new, then it's like the Jason and the Argonaut situation. Are you really the same person as before?
Wow, that's very existential of you.
I mean, he is half meat, half droid. It's a legitimate fear.
Secondarily, hottest, most badass way to die. I've had this thought. Warrior's death would be great. For honor and stuff.
For honor and stuff. I like that.
What's his face from the Clone Wars? General gonna die.
I've learned from the Clone Wars that if you got like a badass Gatling gun, you're going out in a badass way, probably dying in, you know, a very honor-bound way.
Heavy, Commander Thorn. I can't remember the commander on Ryloth.
All right, well, those were the two submitted questions, voice notes that we received. Make sure that if you guys want to be heard on the podcast and you want your question answered on one of our bonus episodes, please go to theforceunscripted.com where you can submit a voice note. But if you're a little bit more shy and you don't want to be recorded, you can also submit questions through our contact form as well, which is the next question we're going to answer. It was submitted and it reads, Star Wars often deals with themes of morality and redemption. Are there characters whose moral journeys you find especially complex or interesting?
Bo-Katan. Bo-Katan starts off as a teenager in the Death Watch, trying to destabilize the government on Mandalore. Her sister is the prime minister, whatever it's called. And so joins the Death Watch. Then Maul comes in, does some killing. She realizes she doesn't want to be in the Death Watch following a non-Mandalorian. She leaves that, joins the good guy side again, takes back Mandalore. loses it again, loses her sword, loses her clan, or her, her clan, her group, gets the sword back, takes back the clan, joins a cult, wears a helmet for a while, sees a mythosaur, takes back Mandalore. It's a pretty complex back-and-forth story. I'm not saying it's, like, the best arc, but it's definitely a lot of ups and downs on the moral spectrum.
Okay, I can respect that answer. I think I have mine. I'd like to, and of course, y'all know me with my Legends boner, but I think that I like Kip Duren's journey. He's a Legends character who becomes a Jedi Master, for those of you who don't know. He starts off on the mines of Kessel, where Han and Chewie, they get imprisoned and they meet him, and he's just a boy. Finds out that, you know, like, after the story develops, he's force sensitive, gets taken in by Luke in his burgeoning Jedi Academy. On Yavin 4, he ends up getting possessed by the force ghost of Exar Kun and falls to the dark side, ends up obtaining the latest super weapon in the galaxy called the Sun Crusher, which not only has like the strongest skin, like it would make Beskar, you know, like it would be like an equivalent, not as strong as Beskar necessarily, but still similarly indestructible, and uses it to shoot a missile into the sun of the Kurita system, which is where the Imperial Academy is. It makes the sun go nova and basically wipes out the entirety of that solar system, kills everyone on Kurita, including his own brother, who he fails to save at the last second. He ends up going through that. Basically, the galaxy wants blood for his crimes, but Luke is able to absolve him. But he still lives with the crimes that he committed throughout his life and kind of spends a lot of his Jedi arc on a path of redemption. Eventually becomes one of the most well-renowned masters during his time. People still kind of, you know, occasionally someone will bring it up. Aren't you the murderer? You know, then, and he has to live with that guilt for the rest of his life, but still becomes a great Jedi master, you know, helps with the Yuuzhan Vong war efforts, helps once, you know, Abeloth starts her rampage in the galaxy, has this like little weird stint where he's like in love with Jaina too, but goes through a decent journey, complex, you know, being a galaxy-wide mass murderer who was possessed by a Sith Lord, Force Ghost, and still goes on to reach not only Jedi knighthood, but, you know, he becomes a master, and an influential one at that. And so I think that that's a fairly complex and interesting, you know, moral journey to go on, regardless of who you are. You still thinking exotic?
Yeah, I can't really think of any off the top of my head that, you know, I find interesting. Because, like, you have, like, the typical one, which is just Anakin Vader.
I mean, that's your most...
saying Revan.
It's like, but did he really go through a whole bunch of morality and redemption, or was it just...
Yes.
Fucking yes, amnesia.
Very much so, he did.
It was mainly amnesia, let's be real.
But he got his memories back and still atoned. I mean, this is a very subjective question. So, like, if the story of Vader and Anakin is what you find the most complex and interesting, or both, I mean, that's you. This is one of those no judgment times. You better take this free pass while you have it.
It would have to be like Anakin, you know, falling to the dark side, coming Vader. Vader being like, oh, I got a kid now. Let's fucking kill the Emperor. And ended up redeeming himself, I guess, somehow. Which didn't make sense to me. Kill one bad guy after killing thousands of little kids. That's the only one that I can really think of off the top of my head that is interesting, I guess. I mean, they made 6 movies about it, so...
All right, well, that is it for questions for this episode. Like I said earlier, be sure if you have questions that you want answered on the podcast, feel free to go to our website, theforceunscripted.com, go to the contact tab and either leave us a voice note or manually type in a question. We absolutely love getting stuff from you guys, and this season we really want to hear from y'all. We wanted to hear from you last season too, but y'all was a little scared, and most of the season we didn't have the website up, but now that the website's up, y'all got no excuse. So please submit those questions or even suggestions for verses, suggestions for topics. We love all that, so be sure to send those in. But without further ado, we're gonna get started with our newest bonus segment. So Brick3PO, go ahead and take it away, buddy.
All right, so welcome in my guinea pigs, I guess. I have a bunch of data on my data pad, and some of it seems to be corrupted, so I'm gonna ask you guys to help me figure out Who are these guys? Here's his first image.
So for those of you who do not tune in to either our YouTube or to the stream, we will include the background as, or the image that we're guessing as the snippet, the little thumbnail for this episode, so that you can see it while you listen, so you're not just confused as to what we're guessing on. But yeah, so we have the image here, and we're going to try to guess who the fuck this is. How often do we get hints?
I will say, now that we're doing it with three people, it's a little bit different, because I gave you about a hint on the test one every, I think, what, three or four guesses that you made? So, I think that should still be a fair number.
Are we allowed to ask questions the same way we do in 20 questions?
Sure. We'll say sure.
I mean, let's just be real. This is sequel trilogy Luke.
Well, why do you have to take the fun out of it?
You wait, holy shit. Oh my God. Bruh, I would have not guessed. Oh, yeah, I would not.
You can't tell by the hair?
Yeah, I was going Anakin, and then you got
see,
me.
See, that's why I thought it was Luke. Anakin. I would have never guessed Luke.
I mean, I knew it was a fucking Jedi, and just by the fucking, like, ruffy, scruffy hair like that, it's sequel trilogy Luke.
Okay, Mr. Know-It-All. Well, you seem to have a good grasp on this one, so how about this one? This is a little bit harder.
That's an alien.
Oh, how are we gonna, wait, before we start, how are we gonna do two in the thumbnail? That's the thing.
We can exclude the first one because it was too easy, apparently.
Okay,
this one's supposed to be the true challenge.
I think I know who this is. I just can't remember their name. Because it's a hut, no?
You are correct.
Yeah.
Is it Zero?
No, it's not Zero. It's the one with like the really weird headdress.
Aruba?
Is it that one? It's the Italian looking motherfucker, no? Fuck, what is his name? He has a mustache.
You know, as a hut lover, I have absolutely no idea who the fuck this is.
Wow, fake fan.
He has a mustache, no?
He does.
He's part of the Hutt Council. I know that. He was in the Clone Wars. Okay, you're supposed to know these things. You're not supposed to know about all the Hutts. How do you not know this one?
Bruh, just because I want to fuck him doesn't mean I know shit about him.
Bro, you should know this shit. He has a mustache. He has like like slick-backed black Italian fucking looking motherfucker hair. Like he's in the Mafia.
Is it? Oh God, where is it?
It's like Marlo? Marlo.
You are correct. It is Marlo Hutt.
Damn. He does look
like... I forgot
his
middle name.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, he looks Italian. Like an Italian fucking like mobster. Yeah, he was in the same episode. He was in the same episode.
Not Smash or Pass, but... Smash. A little tidbits of him. He is a dealer in the slave market. He's a governing body in the Hutt clan with Jabba, Gorga, Arak and Aruba, and yes, violet colored eyes.
Yeah, he was in the same like episodes that they were doing all the shit with Zero in that arc in the Clone Wars.
Smash.
Well, Mr. Know-It-All, you are the best at this game apparently, Mr. Exotic. I have to commend you for that.
Hey, I grew up on Who's That Pokemon, so...
Well, that has been my segment for today, since apparently they're not hard enough. I had to pull out something more difficult. Is that all for today's bonus episode?
I guess. I mean, I kind of like this. I feel like I am at such a severe disadvantage for this because most of my knowledge from shit is all like reading. So images are not going to be my forte.
Well, we now have something that Exotic can one-up you on.
Yeah, finally, he finally has something. Thank you for admitting that he just now has something he has won up on me. Just now.
No,
just
the only thing. There's other things.
Yeah.
Except,
oh my God.
This is the first time I have the voice. So, for how much flack you give him, he can give you flack now.
Give him flack? Okay.
I mean, there is one other thing that you, there's one other thing that you beat me on, Nikita.
Don't say it. Shut up. Okay, that's been today's bonus episode, everyone. Thank you.
Being the biggest bitch around.
God damn it. That's fun, though. I'm going to enjoy this segment. Do you have a name for it? What do you want to call it?
Well, the folder I have it under is Database of Corrupted Data. So the DCD?
DCD, Database of Corrupted Data. I was thinking, like, whose silhouette is it anyway? But, you know, I like that too. It's very nerdy. It's very Brick 3PO-esque. God, that's hard to say. All right, well, that has been this week's bonus episode. Thank you guys for being here. Be sure to tune in to our main episode about the skeleton crew that preceded this, if you haven't already. And be sure to follow us on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcast fix, at Force Unscripted on Twitter, formerly known as X. And be sure to check out our website, as I've already mentioned a bunch of times, but I'm mentioning it again just because I love it. TheForceUnscripted.com, where you can go to our contact tab and either leave us a voice note that we will play and answer on the podcast, as well as you can leave us a question, suggestion, whatever you may have, stuff you want us to talk about on the contact form that is on the contact tab. But until next time, peace out, Girl Scouts. May the Force be with you, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening.
See you later.
Later.